Well, hello. Welcome to this podcast. In today's segment, we will be talking with Mark Goddard, the Manager of Customer Success for Cognitive Solutions. It's a leading cybersecurity firm known as Spark Cognition. Thanks for your time, and let's get started. Mark, we looked up your bio, and you seem to be very rich in your historical background in terms of engineering and technology. Can you tell us some of the highlights of your career?
Yeah, thanks for having me on today, Ravi. Excited to talk about the company and the products and myself a bit. So I have an engineering degree from Rice University in Houston, Texas. I'm a native Texan. I then worked as a civil engineer for about 5 years in transit design and then found myself working as a consultant at the Boston Consulting Group. I've then since served as a software consultant for several years and then found my way to Spark Cognition not too long ago.
Okay. Sounds excellent. Now, how do you venture into it? Is this a company that you've helped to create, or you just kind of like jumped into it, or tell me more about that?
It was really a great crossroad between the merging of my consulting experience and my software experience over the last 4 or 5 years. I was connected to Spark Cognition by former colleagues at BCG who were doing exciting work in artificial intelligence and cognitive solutions.
Oh, it sounds awesome. Now, what's the meaning behind Spark Cognition? Obviously, there must be some connotation to cybersecurity, but can you elaborate more on what it really means in more detail?
Absolutely. So we see the future of artificial intelligence as both bright and a great opportunity. Cognitive is a term that refers to the way a human brain thinks, so the way that people currently solve problems. It was a term somewhat thought to have been coined by IBM maybe 10 years ago or so to avoid some of the negative connotations associated with the Hollywood use of the word artificial intelligence and former attempts at artificial intelligence in the second half of the 20th century. And we view this cognitive learning, cognitive business use cases as a great opportunity, and we see ourselves as the spark to that future potential. So that's kind of the origin of the name right there.
Okay, sounds excellent. Now, how long has Spark Cognition been in business? Is it a startup or is it more established?
We like to think of ourselves as a mature startup. We came out of our stealth mode in April of 2014, so we've been operating and selling publicly for about 3 years now. We definitely have a very friendly startup culture, but our big name clients, our successes, our track record, and reliability delivering on our estimates and our earnings, et cetera, have definitely given us a mature startup feel.
Excellent. Now, do you have a presence in other countries as well, or are you just mostly a U.S.-based company?
We're primarily U.S.-based. Most of our, if not all of our employees are U.S.-based. However, we are exploring opportunities across the world. We've done work in the UK, several companies in Europe we're doing work with. We're exploring opportunities in Asia and the Middle East, as well as Central America, south of the U.S. border. So as you're aware, with technology, there's much less of a border mentality when it comes to doing business. And we are exploring those opportunities as they arise.
Okay, sounds excellent. Well, let's get into your customer base here. Who is your typical customer that you're trying to target or that you're trying to reach or that you have already in existence? Are they the small, medium-sized businesses, the large companies like the Fortune 500, or a combination of both?
That's a great question. I could probably talk a little bit about what we do, the kind of work that we do, before I get too much into who the customers are. But to answer your question, so when we do work with several Fortune 100, Fortune 500, very large name companies in predictive analytics, predictive maintenance, things like that. With our security book of business, it's a much broader range. The need for cybersecurity services is up and down the size, the company sizes. However, we do attempt to overlap with industrial prognostics because of our key focus there as well. So strictly cybersecurity, we can provide value to small companies, medium companies, large companies. But I'll tell you more about our products as we move forward, I think.
Okay, sounds excellent. Now, how big is Spark Cognition? Like employee size, customer base size, revenue size? What are you? Small, I mean, you said you're a mature startup, but, like, what's your size? And if you can just give a little bit more of a specific breakdown with that.
Yeah. So when I joined the company a year ago, we were bumping up against 40 people and have grown exponentially since then, and we're about 100 people now a year later, net since then. We also serve about 40 companies, most of which are household names. Large players in different verticals, including financial services, utilities, industrial players, things like that.
Sounds excellent. Well, let's get into your product line. It looks like Spark Cognition kind of makes use of a very, like, four, or I think three distinct product lines: the Spark Predict, the Spark Secure, and the Deeply Armor. Could you please elaborate more on these in detail and how they can be used in cybersecurity?
Sure. So I should just start by saying that Spark Predict is actually not a security product. It's more of a safety product in that it's an industrial prognostics application. It monitors things like wind turbines, power plants, oil and gas infrastructure. It monitors the data coming off of those large assets and detects failures, impending failures, and it provides very accurate estimates of forewarning to failures on those sorts of assets. So it does provide for safety of the industrial internet while ensuring efficient predictive maintenance for our clients. So it's not quite a cybersecurity product, but we're actually an AI algorithms company at our core. So the algorithms that we've developed to allow us to monitor, ingest, understand, and analyze the data coming off of physical assets are the exact same algorithms that inform our cybersecurity products. So Spark Secure, for example, performs anomaly detection on network security logs, so firewall logs, IDS, IPS logs, web server logs, things like that. It's monitoring the logs, looking for anomalous behavior. So everyone, you hear the words anomalies, anomalous behavior quite frequently in the cybersecurity space. So, we are an AI algorithms company, and we definitely think that our ability to do anomaly detection is far superior to any cybersecurity company. In addition to anomaly detection and Spark Secure, we also do natural language processing, which is another form of artificial intelligence. Natural language processing, acronym NLP, is able to provide threat context to do automated queries, research perceived threats. So before an analyst even logs in the morning to look at a list of alerts on their SIEM or their SIM solution, they'll already get prioritized ranking of each alert based on human-like analysis of the internet knowledge, the threat intelligence of a given alert. So we know that most analysts use Google as their number one tool beyond their own personal experience. So we've automated the use of search engines to be able to pull back written context to understand the threat, so to aid in the time it takes to run a threat to ground using natural language processing technology. That's all Spark Secure. It's our network approach, an agentless approach. There's nothing on the endpoint. It's just monitoring the network logs. We've also created a product called Deep Armor, which is a machine learning endpoint protection product. It uses static analysis and a cloud-based machine learning malware detection model. These are our algorithms that we've then trained the model on hundreds of thousands of malware samples. We're constantly honing this model, making it more accurate with greater efficacy to be updated on the latest attack styles. It sits in line and does not allow any executable files to be executed on the endpoints. So, I mean, that gives you a brief overview of the three products. Two products being cybersecurity products. Deep Armor is really our flagship product at this point that we are pushing forward with the most, because we know there's a demonstrated need for that product. We know that 86% of CISOs are considering evaluating machine learning endpoint products. They because everyone acknowledges there's a serious gap in the signature-based approach to endpoint detection, and we are endeavoring to service that market.
It sounds excellent. And a segue off a previous question: what kinds of customers have used these products, or these products and services, if you will?
Sure. As I mentioned, Spark Predicts primarily targets industrial electrical producers, oil and gas companies. So we've worked with the number one, the number two, many more of the top 10, 15 United States electrical production companies. We've done a lot of work on wind turbines, gas turbines. Also in the European market, we're doing work for those same types of companies, global leaders in the electrical production space. We've also done work for several financial services institutions doing prediction work. Again, it's a part of our Spark Predict platform where I was describing our algorithms are useful in any kind of use case. They're not domain specific. They are data agnostic and able to provide value in any kind of data stream. When it comes to security, the industries and companies are sort of all over the place. Like I said, the size is sort of small to medium. It's a linear. Both Spark Secure and BeepArmor are scalable solutions. BeepArmor is designed to serve enterprise clients, so with a minimum of 100 endpoints, a client gets access to our command management console that allows them to monitor and update and control the endpoints, control the use of BeepArmor to those endpoints. But it's linearly scalable up to tens of thousands of endpoints. When I say endpoints, I'm referring to Windows, PCs, and Android devices as well, with future expansion into Linux and other more what's considered OT technology. That should give you somewhat of an idea of what the customers look like.
Okay, sure. Now, do these products and services, do they have a hardware and a software component both?
We are an applications and analytics company, so we're creating software products. We don't do the actual sensorization ourselves at this time. We get the data from our clients' existing sensor systems, whether that be their existing firewall and a cybersecurity engagement or off of a wind turbine for an electrical producer. But we don't do hardware when it comes to data acquisition. The only hardware associated with our software solution is the hardware that's required, the infrastructure that hosts the applications and stores the data. So we can do on-premise delivery of critical asset infrastructure on hardware. We recommend premium hardware, things like IBM flash systems and Power8 systems. The flash system we have to have for AI programs, we really have to have premium hardware that gets really fast computations and storage and memory. However, we also do a lot of work in the cloud, so we partner with multiple cloud providers like Google, Amazon, GE Predict, SoftLayer, communications companies like Verizon, AT&T. So we support both cloud environments and on-premise deployments. But beyond storage and computation, we don't really have a hardware component to our solution itself.
Okay. Sounds good. Now, are you leveraging any strategic partnerships to provide your products and services? Are you trying to branch out that way too?
Yeah, we are. As you're aware, all the major technology companies are really pushing towards cloud services. So there's a lot of opportunity out there for us. We provide, we like to say that we provide big solutions to big data. So, for example, with BeepArmor, we've partnered with Google to provide our security capabilities to Android devices and data that resides within their cloud solution. We're also working with one particular major mobility service vendor to do the same thing using BeepArmor and an Android solution via their services. So with security, I mean, everyone knows that your listeners that security is often sold and fulfilled and supported via different types of resellers or partnerships. So we're not trying to depart too far from that model. We also are looking at lots of different partnerships for our Predict line of products as well. So yeah, it's an exciting space to be in, and you know, there's just so many great established players that are very are nurturing to small companies like ours to bring along our big data solutions to provide additional value to their customers.
Mm-hmm. Sounds excellent. Now, what separates Spark Cognition from other cybersecurity vendors? What do you think your differentiating advantage is?
So, capabilities-wise, as I said earlier, you know, we believe our algorithms are highly differentiated. Also, our ability to do the natural language processing software that we employ in most of our solutions as well, or integrate closely with many of our existing solutions. But I think at a very high level, it's important to talk about our company's DNA. We are an AI algorithms company first, and for us, cybersecurity is one use case where we are very well positioned to add a lot of value because of the ability of our algorithms to find those anomalies and provide these actionable insights. So if you hang around in the cybersecurity circles and go to the trade shows, you'll hear everyone talking about machine learning and AI. However, it's not something you can just kind of go learn on the fly. That is something that is in our DNA, and we think that's a real differentiator for Spark Cognition working in cybersecurity.
Okay, sounds excellent. Now, do you offer any free trials or any types of free risk assessments to potential customers?
Yeah, we do. So for DeepArmor, our endpoint protection product, we are happy to provide free evaluations to qualified prospective customers.
Okay. Now, I've seen on your website that you've also won quite a number of awards recently. Can you elaborate more on that in a little bit more detail?
Absolutely. We recently, the one I've been most excited to brag about lately is CB Insights, a prominent online publication, named us to the Hot AI 100. So it's a list of 100 companies that are really moving the needle when it comes to artificial intelligence in different industry sectors. They named 6 companies to the AI 100 in cybersecurity. Anyone can go and Google who the rest were, but we were very honored to be listed in that good company of AI companies working in cybersecurity.
It sounds excellent. Well, now, can you give an example of a threat or a risk that you've actually helped a customer successfully combat with your algorithms?
Yeah, I'll give an example for both DeepArmor and Spark Secure. Just in the past few weeks, a new threat that's pretty interesting in the way that it propagates, called Popcorn Time, which is, if you've heard, Popcorn Time is unique. It's basically a piece of ransomware, but what's unique about it is that you can either pay the one Bitcoin fine or fee or extortion, or you can forward along the ransomware to 2 friends. So you can see how it's basically asking you to sell out your friends so that you can avoid paying the extortion. And therefore, it quickly gets spread around because people will refer it to people they don't particularly like that much, or who knows. So it's a pretty dirty threat. It accesses people's user information, so they're able to kind of fool you in a phishing scam. Luckily for anyone running DeepArmor, we detected this, zero day without ever having seen it before or trained on it. We were able to detect the maliciousness of that file using our static analysis and our proprietary algorithms and cloud model. So DeepArmor protected its users from Popcorn Time. Additionally, Spark Secure, one interesting example of a threat known as Dark IRC, which we were able to detect using our anomaly detection. Specifically, it's a port anomaly, and so it picks up the use of a specific port that's not ever used by that system in the way that in which it's used. And then additionally, using our automated natural language processing research tools, we can pull back evidence from the Internet, and I can just give you a quote here that our NLP engine found, ranked this as likely to be a threat because it found evidence such as the program will mine for Bitcoins using the computer's GPU. So that sort of shows you how we detect anomalies and then can automatically go out and find information about that threat to give the analysts a better heads-up view of what they're dealing with very quickly.
It sounds awesome. Now, is there a specific area in like cybersecurity, internet security that you're focused on or that you use your algorithms primarily for, or can it be used for any and all types of cybersecurity threats and risks?
So I would say that our machine learning capabilities could be deployed to any number of cybersecurity use cases. Essentially, you're always looking to classify the good and the bad. Spark Cognition could develop capabilities in all these aspects of cybersecurity. But we have thus far focused on anomaly detection, things like firewall threats, and as we've already discussed. And now we're really focusing the most on our endpoint protection using DeepArmor and its ability to do machine learning protection of endpoints classifying malicious files.
Okay. Now, what are the general expansion plans for Spark Cognition? Obviously, you can't get into the details. But just in general, what are your plans for the next couple of years? Are you going to offer new products or services? Or are you going to enter new markets, get new types of customers? Can you elaborate in a little bit more detail?
Yeah, sure. I would say things I'm able to kind of discuss publicly is that with DeepArmor, we currently cover Windows products. We're developing Android capabilities, and then we'll have those commercially viable in the next few months. And then we'll look to expand into additional markets with the DeepArmor model. So additional capabilities might include get the crossover with our industrial clients, monitoring their assets in the field that don't currently run on Windows products. So there's a lot of growth there. There are, of course, infinite applications for predictive maintenance. So our Spark Predict product, we will target markets beyond the ones we're currently working in and the customers we're currently working with. I read a study the other day by BCG, the Boston Consulting Group, that estimated there's an €80 billion market for IoT analytics and applications by the year 2020 around the world. So, that is the hottest growth area of artificial intelligence, of big data, is all in predictive maintenance space. We are right in there with Spark Cognition and Spark Predict. So that should give you a bit of an idea of the value we see in the future of the industrial Internet of Things and our ability to add value both in cybersecurity and also in predictions.
Okay. Now, obviously, cybersecurity is a big thing these days, and the landscape's changing like almost every minute on a daily basis. What do you think the new threats and the risks that are coming at this time, how do you plan to keep up with all of this, and how do you see the landscape changing? Is it ever going to plateau out, or is it just going to keep escalating even more? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and it kind of speaks to some of our differentiation. There is evolution in the cyber threat landscape. And the reason there's a need for artificially intelligent solutions and machine learning is that machine learning models constantly are retraining themselves on the evolving threat landscape. So we view our approach as critical to be able to ensure the future of both IT and other types of information technology and security. I would say my view is that, you're going to see increased automation and resilience on the side of the hackers or the nefarious actors moving towards what's sometimes called hyper-warfare. And that will lead ultimately to an absolute necessity for automated detection and remediation on the side of the good guys. So we are enabling the good guys to provide the artificially intelligent cybersecurity solutions. I think of it like a game of ping pong where it's a good guy playing a bad guy. However, history has shown that the hackers, the nefarious actors, are always a step ahead. So I look at it as, you know, imagine you're trying to do manual cybersecurity detection and remediation. You're playing a robot with an infinite number of arms in a game of ping pong. So if you're not automating your system, if you're not automating your detection, creating self-learning detection and automated remediation systems, you're ultimately going to be facing a hacker or a set of offensive capabilities that you're just not capable of keeping up with.
Sure. Now, based on your experience and knowledge, what do you think the biggest cyber threat's going to be? I mean, obviously, it's hard to predict what's going to be, but just based on your knowledge, what do you think the future could hold?
Yeah, there's a few things that I think people should be aware of out there in the cyber threat landscape. Everyone's heard of Stuxnet and other operational technology style threats with critical assets. These are things that the government and the government ultimately, but also the private corporations that operate these equipment, really have to take very seriously. I think also similarly, business IT style attacks like the DDoS attack on DIN, the internet, DYN DIN, the internet infrastructure company, shows you that as well. You know, our critical infrastructure is definitely under attack and has to be secured with innovative, intelligent approaches. Also, there's, of course, social threats like the election tampering or the perceived election tampering, whether or not that was impactful or not. But certainly with the ability to spread information and misinformation, whether or not we can trust our news sources, that's important, the social aspects of that. But I think that the number one greatest concern to our economy is certainly the threats to business value and reputation brought by cybersecurity compromises, you know, leaked information, credit card information, personally identifiable information. You know, just to throw out one mind-boggling number, recently we saw that the owners of Yahoo lost $350 billion with a B dollars, primarily due to their insecure posture in cybersecurity. When Verizon was looking to acquire them, they renegotiated a new deal for $350 billion less based upon some compromises in their cybersecurity. So, you know, that really just shows you how important this is and the criticality of cybersecurity in the coming years.
Okay. Well, finally, what do you recommend for people in general to protect themselves and their environment from cyber hacks and cyber attacks? I mean, we all keep, you know, hearing, you know, you need to use cryptography, you need to have a stronger password, but you know, what do you recommend differently than from what the mainstream media always reports?
Yeah, well, what you hear in the media, I like to joke. They say, don't reuse a password, make them very complex, and never write them down, which is kind of funny because it's good luck remembering all that. but seriously, cybersecurity is something that people have to be become accustomed to getting for free. But in life, you know, you get what you pay for. If you want to avoid getting owned by malware, you have to use common sense when it comes to clicking emails, clicking links. And I would say invest in advanced malware detection. And, of course, I'm biased, but we think BeepArmor is doing a great job. And we're hoping that the bigger players, the bigger names, start wising up to the fact that signature-based approaches are no longer sufficient to protect their customers, and they need to start taking zero-day threats and targeted attacks seriously, as we are at Spark Cognition.
Sure. Well, Mark, thanks for your time. Thanks. We really appreciate it, and we hope to speak with you again here in the near future.
Yeah, Robbie, thanks again, and have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Have a great week.
Bye.